persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Well, the primary has come to California, and I'm taking plenty of heat for my position on Trump, let me tell ya. Well, I'm not a pragmatist. What can I say? You know, I'm not one of these guys that believes it's, for example, okay to lie to the American people in order to advance a nuclear arms deal with Iran that effectively empowers them to get nukes so they can brag about their ability to wipe out Israel in 8 minutes. You hear about that one? Yeah, I know that's about Obama, but still, it's where pragmatism takes you. Obama's State Department admits to editing a video to remove evidence that Obama's State Department lied. What a shock. To cover up secret negotiations with Iran. Because, of course, Obama has been very careful to live up to all of his promises, right? Including the one about being the most transparent presidency. So Victoria Nuland, State Department spokeswoman back in 2012, told reporters that the Obama administration was in secret negotiations with Iran about a nuke deal. But, of course, Obama was telling us that his administration was not engaged in secret negotiations with Iran. So, well, either she or someone else in the State Department sent instructions to those responsible to edit or cut out that part of the video from the interview. And when this was discovered, the first response from the White House was, really, we think it was a glitch. And now more recently, because the pressure is building, we are hearing that some unknown party made the request, but no one knows who it was. So that's pretty cool. You know, anyone can call in and say, hey, edit this out of the video. And then they say, okay. Of course, Nixon edited his tapes and ended up being forced out of office. But back in those days, pragmatism had not yet permeated our culture so thoroughly. We are told the assumption was that since they had the phone number, you know, then it must have been an official with authority to and so on, yada, yada, whatever. Right? Whatever. Whatever. Sometimes I think the kids are onto something with these expressions of cynicism. Yeah, right. Whatever. Actually, it says a lot, doesn't it? Anyway, Obama did not want the American people to know about his negotiations with Iran over the nuke deal for the very reason that Nuland gave in her interview. She said, quote, there are times when diplomacy needs privacy to proceed, end quote. Now, that clarifies what Obama meant when he said his would be the most transparent presidency ever. You know, so long as there's no need to hide something the president's doing from the public eye, then, of course, we're going to be open about everything. Like negotiating a nuke deal that empowers one of America's enemies who has declared that they want to wipe us out, called us the Great Satan. Pragmatism can justify anything, and it's so flexible. It's really such a cool philosophy because, you see, you can justify murdering a baby in the womb, and then you could turn around and convict somebody of murder if they cause a baby to be killed while it's in the womb. Isn't that great? What's the difference? Well, the difference has nothing to do with whether the baby in the womb is a human life because, well, frankly, everyone knows that. I mean, it's like, no duh, dude. Another brilliant expression of sarcasm that doesn't get its due. What makes the difference is that in one case, the mother decided to kill the baby for, well, pragmatic reasons. And in the other case, the mother didn't want to kill the baby for whatever reasons. So if you were born after 1973, you really should go thank your mom for deciding not to kill you. Pragmatism can justify anything. You know, like situational ethics, where there actually is no moral code, no fixed code of ethics, no rules of conduct that are objective to any circumstance. and apply to all. No principles are fixed. There's not one thing that is wrong, no matter what the situation. Morals are as flexible as, as gender fluidity. And a good pragmatist can justify lying, cheating, stealing with relative ease these days. It is a little more challenging to justify rape and stuff like that, but stay tuned, keep watching this cultural revolution that we're undergoing. They've come up with a way to blur the distinction between male and female to the point these categories have almost no meaning, and that's what they're going for. And they've been able, through pragmatic concerns and by pragmatic rationalizations, to warp the mind of it seems most in our society, so they can wrap their head around homosexual marriage. That's weird. And these things would have been thought to have been absolutely impossible only a few decades ago. So, give them time. They'll find a way to justify rape. Actually, this has already been done many times, and this will show that pragmatism is nothing new. She asked for it, right? I mean, you've heard that one. Well, she had it coming, the way she dresses and the way, right? Know what I mean? Pragmatism can justify anything. So you've got a guy named Beccaro. He has the morals of an alley cat. He likes Common Core, but, he's Republican, so, and he can beat this person over here. So pragmatism can justify anything. For example, Trump boasts repeatedly that he can't be bought, since he's financing his own campaign, right? Made a big deal out of that in the beginning. How many times did I have to listen to someone tell me this? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I can think of another 5, 6. I don't, over and over, Trump will be his own man, hey? He can't be bought because he's financing his own campaign. Of course, I notice, along with some others, that he arranged his funding of his own campaign as a loan. So I'm thinking, obviously he expects to get his money back. From whom? Okay, well, maybe it was a technical legal trick, He likes those. So he could write it off as a business loss. Because you can't write off political contributions, so maybe that's what he's trying to, I don't know. But I knew from the beginning that it was a ruse. I knew it because I understand pragmatists. You see, Trump is a billionaire, He could cash out some holdings, and he could finance his entire campaign and outspend Hillary. No problem. But get real, man. I mean, hey, why should he do that? Why should he have to spend all his money to buy the presidency? That's not fair, right? So now he's asking for donations. I'm getting hit up every single day for donations for this guy. Well, I mean, you could say, the super PACs are asking. No, listen, Trump is asking for donations. He has sent the signal out clearly to his followers. He needs campaign money to go up against Hillary. Really? What changed his tune? Maybe it has something to do with the only real contender against Trump falling out of the race. But anyway, let's see now. According to your principles, all right, anyone taking money from Trump, I'm talking about, anyone taking money from donors is being bought by those donors. That's a Trump principle articulated by him repeatedly, and therefore is beholden to them and owes them political favors, because we all know that's the way it is. And, nobody knows that better than Trump, who has bought plenty of politicians. He knows exactly how you buy the politicians, you own them, man. That's a Trump principle. And Cruz, he was a bought man. And Hillary, she's a bought woman. But with Trump now, he's funding his own campaign. Yada, yada. Probably not a Yiddish expression, by the way. Maybe Norwegian. From their expression, we would say jada, jada, but it would be pronounced in Norwegian, yada, yada, something anyway. Introduced into American vernacular in the early 19th century from the English word yadder, which refers to incessant chatter. So Trump gives us this yadder, yadder about the other guys being bought by donors, when he intended right along to take donations. You don't believe that? You're more naive than I thought you were. But he won't be bought by them because, hey, he's so morally superior to everyone else, huh? Here's the guy that never says sorry. He's never done anything wrong in his life. He's never even had to apologize to God. Which, of course, is antithetical to the Christian ethos and proves he's not a Christian and has no idea what it means to be one. I mean, he's all eye for eye and tooth for tooth, right? I guess he never read that bit about ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And you've heard me address that, and Trump's far from the spirit of that. You've heard Trump say that he believes the exact opposite of what Jesus, the Master, said. He doesn't even submit himself to the Mosaic principle of equal justice or even justice, eye for eye, tooth. Now with Trump, it's both eyes for an eye. It's all your teeth for a tooth. Yeah? Trump believes if someone hits you, you clobber them. If someone says something unflattering about him, well, he slanders you with vile insults, and he'll even go after your father. Yeah, you really like this guy. Yeah, yeah, now pound the radio, roll down your window, and spit in the wind. Now, I'm having a great time. I don't know if you are, but, and you're going to, how could this guy, anyway, I'll explain that. It reminds me of something, however. When I was a kid, driving along in my car, I had a little power under the hood, I'm minding my own business, you know, and this car pulls up beside me with a bunch of kids in it. The passenger on the front seat starts flipping me off, you know, he's cussing, screaming about something. I couldn't hear him, had his window rolled up, mine was rolled up. I don't know what his beef was. I have no idea. Like I said, I had a little power under the hood, and I pulled away very easily. And anyway, they caught up with me at a light. And now this guy's so crazy in his anger. And again, I don't even know what it's about. He rolled down his window. And you know the expression, choosing me on? Well, he was totally choosing me on, man. So the light goes green, and I'm not going to fight this guy. I had no idea what his beef was about. So the light goes green, and I'm kind of toying with these guys, you know. I don't peel rubber and say, I could have just left him eating dust, that kind of thing. But I just sort of stay with him as he tried to accelerate, you know, show me what he had, I guess. And anyway, as he punched it off the line, I'm just laughing at this idiot, and he really gets angry now. And I'm watching this guy start, you know, gathering up a loogie. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying. And he's prepared to spit at me. I knew that. So he rolls down his window. And I mean, he put together quite the loogie, okay? And I'm thinking, wow, this has got to be the stupidest guy I've ever seen in my life. So sure enough, I wonder, is he going to do this? Sure enough, he sticks his head out the window and hurls this loogie at me. And of course, it blows right back into his face. And oh, man. It was too early for the iPhones and the little cameras we have available everywhere. And even then, in that case, I'm not sure I would have got one because I try to obey the law about that. But anyway, I wish I had a picture of that guy's shocked expression when his own got all over his own face. I know it would go viral. So go ahead and scream and yell at me for sticking to my principles. Okay? But hey, when Obama became president, I didn't buy the bit, you know, that, hey, you know, leave him alone. He won already, right? Well, Trump, I think, is a dangerous man, and there needs to be a healthy opposition movement to watch him and keep him in check if he does win the presidency, especially. Or, you know, listen, he's going to find 1,000 pragmatic reasons to deliver this nation to hell. However, Romans 8:28 still says that all things work together for good to them that love God. And we can anticipate that, at least for the sake of his elect, he will make good on his promise. And he can bring good even out of this mess. If we'll seek his face, we'll find it. I won't vote for Trump because there's no principle served in doing so. All right, an argument could be made for a pragmatic vote for Trump, but not a principled one. And I, for one, refuse to trade my principles for pragmatism, at least no further. I've had enough experience with that to know it only goes very, very bad. Now, I've explained the principles that govern who I vote for several times. I've made my position very clear, and it's real simple. And I'll summarize. Ultimately, God will decide, Daniel 4, 17 and 25, and he will decide based on how his people choose, Hosea 8, verse 4. He says, you know, they set up rulers, but not by me. Obviously, he allows them to set up their own rulers. So he watches them and responds accordingly. The question will be whether or not God's people will go on doing what they've been doing, and that's setting up rulers or appointing rulers without him. So guided by biblical principle or pragmatic humanistic rationalizations. Well, which will it be? Therefore, no party owns my vote. Each candidate is measured by the criteria God gave us for appointing rulers in Deuteronomy, and Trump doesn't qualify. It really is just as simple as that. When I get back, you will, however, be surprised, because I'm going to give hope to Trump supporters. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the Spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Thank you for listening. I would like to extend to you my personal invitation to visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church this coming Sunday. We have a full Sunday school program and nursery is available. Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning preaching service starts at 10:45 a.m. Our hospitality hosts look forward to greeting you with a complimentary cup of coffee or water, some treats, and you'll receive a free copy of one of my books. You'll meet a lot of new friends. You'll be inspired by the worship and encouraged and your faith strengthened by the preaching. Each Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have a time of prayer for our nation, followed by a relevant message addressing issues of concern to all God-fearing patriots called the Issachar Report. After the Sunday evening service, we meet in our fellowship hall for some food and fellowship, and it's a great time for me to get acquainted with our visitors and to answer any questions you might have about the church or the message. On Wednesday night, we offer a one-hour prayer meeting and preaching time. It begins at 7 p.m. The children can participate in Lighthouse Kids, and of course, nursery is available for the little ones for all services. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in church.
Enjoying your brain massage experience? Do you wish everyone could? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the ark away and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the ark was for the priests to carry it. He decided to try it again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions. And everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an old path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. And Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling "The Enemy is on the March, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty." Folks ask me, how can you be happy? And this whole thing is not a joke to you, is it? Absolutely not, my friend. I take it very, very seriously. But I, as they say, I have read the last chapter in this story, and I know how it ends. And with him who sits in the heavens, I laugh at some of this nonsense. What can I say? But in any event, assuming Trump wins the Republican nomination and manages to beat Hillary in the general election, we can hope Trump will be another Chester Arthur. He was the 21st president, and he remains one of the most undervalued presidents in our history. A pastor friend gave me heads up on him in a recent text, so I ran it down, and I must say it was encouraging. Thank you, Pastor McKenzie. And I know I have quite a few listeners in Washington, so if you're in the area of Puyallup, go by Bible Baptist Church and say hi to Pastor McKenzie for me. But anyway, I checked into Chester Arthur, and I understand that by the standards of his day, he was a vain New York dandy. What they would call a peacock, a high-living party animal. He was what they called then a product of the spoils system in the politics of his day. In other words, trading political positions and government jobs for favors and, you know, crony capitalism and all that. A total political insider that worked the system for his own benefit and for that of his pals. It was said that Chester was a product of the political machine of his day. Now, of course, in this regard, most of you would not tolerate a comparison to Trump because, in your view, Trump is the outsider, the pure, and the politically undefiled. But, of course, you know what I think about that. He's been playing on the inside of corrupt politics all along, and this outsider thing is a ruse. It's built on what I consider to be a very shallow and simplistic observation, simply that he hasn't held office, failing to note that he has purchased so many of them that he has, in fact, held offices. Okay? Clearly, however, the comparisons are obvious. A party-hardy sort of guy, a worldly, world-loving, high-living sort of guy, something of a dilettante, a corrupt fella on the take, selling favors if not buying them. In fact, he got an appointment to the job of customs collector for the Port of New York, but when Rutherford Hayes became president, he removed Chester as part of his overall effort to reform the spoil system, a system of giving government jobs to friends for favors. And so, anyway, he ended up becoming vice president to Garfield, and then Garfield was assassinated, and then by default, Chester became president. And he underwent a remarkable transformation. He became a very effective reformer of the very things that he participated in before, all right? And even more importantly, he's responsible for, at that time, rebuilding a woefully inadequate Navy and really building it up impressively for that day and age. He did not receive the nomination of his party to run for re-election, and he died a year or so later of kidney problems that he had been battling for quite some time. But later, when the Spanish-American War broke out, America's ability to overcome Spain really was owing to the Navy that Chester built. So, take heart. We do have an example in history of a Trump-like character who got into the presidency by something of a fluke, undergoing a remarkable transformation when he stepped into the White House. And so we can hope. But friend, I'm not counting on it because, frankly, there's enough disparity between them as there are parallels between them. One thing would be this. Chester Arthur grew up in an environment in which he knew what he was doing was wrong. He understood the difference between right and wrong. And so he knew where to go when he wanted to do right. Trump doesn't believe he's done anything wrong. He does all this stuff and he thinks it's all okay and it's all right. He's self-righteous to the max. But in any event, I intend to join the resistance movement that surely will develop to keep Trump in check and to hold his feet to the fire on the promises he has made, or in the event that Hillary or Bernie ends up in the White House. In any case, this is key to anyone getting into the White House right now, any of the candidates that are currently hopeful. I'll do all of my power to ensure that we have a Congress that will do its job and check the power of the executive. The truth is, my friends, what matters more to the future of America right now than who is president is what powers the president usurps and is allowed to usurp. Obama should never have gotten away with what he did, and the problem was not all Obama. A whole lot of the blame falls on a weak, spineless Congress that failed to do their constitutional duty. Now, friend, there is still some salt and light in the Congress, and they need all the support we can give them, and we need to concentrate on getting strong conservatives elected to our House of Representatives and Senate, and in the lower levels of government as well. In fact, our strategy needs to include an aggressive plan for getting conservatives in every level of government as something of a bulwark against the imperial presidency that corrupt anti-American politicos are trying to create in Washington. I mean, they're dragging us back to Britain as those who led Israel attempted to drag them back to Egypt. And I mean the old monarchical England. We've got to band together and resist this devil. But we can get nowhere with that until first we submit to God. Our attention must turn to the representatives in the Senate races and other local races for governor, for mayor. And it's already a trend, but it's becoming increasingly clear that who becomes governor over yonder in this or that other state is strategically important to our Christian conservative cause. I mean, friend, we need to promote Christian conservatives who are traditionalist constitutionalists. It is becoming clear that it is critical that we build a firewall of protection for our liberties at the local levels of our government. I mean, for sheriff, everything. That's why I like Peter Adam. He's proved to be a man that'll stand up for what's right. I like Matt Kokanen for Congress, a man of excellent character who's committed to principle. I like Dr. Grundman for senator. Excellent. I like Labard for state assembly. Now, you vote for whoever you think deserves your vote. I have nothing to say to you about that. But don't forget who is watching. Capital W-H-O, okay? His eyes run to and fro throughout the earth, beholding the evil and the good. And as for me, my friend, I'm done compromising my biblically defined principles for humanistic pragmatism. Done with it. I mean, think about where we are and how we got here. We did not end up here by accident. We've been duped into playing by the devil's rules. Jesus observed that the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Now, this does not mean the children of light need to learn how to operate like the children of the world. What it means is that the children of this world, well, they understand how the world works. But the children of light do not understand how, well, how heaven works. The children of this world understand the system of the world. Well, who is God of the world? According to the Bible, Satan is God of the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, God of this world. The children of this world are those, the Bible says, Satan can take captive at his will. In 2 Timothy 2:26. Now, because they are his children, and by the way, 1 John 3:10 makes it clear, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So you see, there are the children of God and the children of the devil. Anyway, the point is that we who are Christians are translated by Christ into his kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13. And we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, some say that this means that we as Christians have no interest or business with this world. But you see, when Christ rose from the grave, he declared that all power was given to him in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28:18. And his kingdom rules over all the other kingdoms of the earth. He is the ordaining authority of Romans 13 over all earthly powers. Now, we are commanded to preach the gospel of the kingdom, which declares the king is coming, that Jesus Christ is the king, and that all men everywhere must repent and believe on him for the remission of sins so they can be saved from the wrath that is coming when he returns. Meanwhile, every nation that honors God and submits to Christ's gospel and rule will be exalted. Psalm 145:15, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33:12, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. But on the other side of that, the nations that forget God are turned into hell. Psalm 9:17. So we call on the nations to repent and believe on God, believe on Jesus Christ, and we warn those nations who called on the name of the Lord to not forget him. Now understand that God has a people on the earth today. And Christ promised when he was here to give the kingdom to the nation that brings forth its fruit. Matthew 21:43. So America is a nation that is under God. It was built on biblical principles. It was built on the gospel of Jesus Christ, like Patrick Henry and so many others observed. We are fighting for our one nation under God. And, well, okay, we might lose. Judah did before us. But if we do, it'll be because we have failed to be the salt and light we're supposed to be. And the bottom line is, we have failed precisely in the same way they did. We're forgetting God, turning our back on him, and we're setting up rulers, but not according to his word. And these rulers, quite frankly, are dragging this nation to hell. So I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree with what I'm saying, lights off if you disagree. And by the way, I got about 10 different suggestions, three or four from one fella alone, on what to use as a proper greeting for Memorial Day. And I like all of them. Every single one of them was really good. I think remember would be a good one, but that requires some context. One I liked a lot was Grateful Memorial Day, or have a Grateful Memorial Day. That was really the one I settled on. And that one was suggested by Pastor Marshall Stevens. And by the way, Pastor Stevens has been a very faithful and loyal supporter of the Rhema Sauce Show, and I really appreciate him. Anybody who listens to this show and lives in the area of American Canyon, you got to get by and see Pastor Stevens at Calvary Baptist Church in American Canyon. In any event, call me at 1-888-770-8000. Let me know what you think about the show today. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church as we continue our series on the Bible and conspiracy theories.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.